All right, well, good morning, church family. I'm really, really glad to be with you here this morning. And Lucy, thank you so much for sharing your grace story with us. That was very, very precious. And I know a lot of our Little Lights team that went a few months ago to be the hands and feet of Jesus. I know a lot of you guys are here. And I just want to say thank you guys for going, students and leaders that were there. I celebrate and I thank God for the work of grace that God has done in and through you. And church family, thank you for praying for this team. Thank you for giving so that they might be able to go. And I just feel like we just have a lot of thanks that we can give to the Lord. So could you just join me? Let's just thank God for this opportunity that we've had. Let's just thank God for that. Amen. Amen. That was really precious. Friends, if we haven't met, my name is Huey, and I get to serve as one of the pastors here. And if you are visiting with us for the very first time, or if this is your first time in a long, long time, welcome. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday. Again, we're so glad that you're worshiping with us this morning. And at this time, I just want to invite you to turn with me in your Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Okay, Genesis chapter 2. Several weeks ago, we began a new sermon series this fall called Spiritual Formation Practices. And we said that spiritual formation practices are intentional habits, rhythms, and patterns by which we open ourselves up to the ever-abiding presence of God in and through and because of our Savior Jesus. And these practices are how we remember and live out of the reality that as followers of Jesus, we belong to God and that He belongs to us. And Pastor Owen's been saying the last few weeks that the goal of this series is not only for us to learn about these practices, but more importantly, to actually practice them so that we can learn to be with Jesus and for us to be like Him, become like Him, and do what He did, which in essence is to love God and to love others. So last week, we considered together the spiritual formation practice of prayer, and this morning, we are going to consider together the spiritual formation practice of Sabbath. And since this is our altar Sunday, we get to invite our Central Youth student to read scripture for us and serve our church in this way. So at this time, I'm going to invite Matthew Lee to come and to read scripture for us. He's my son. Come on, bro, let's go. I am gleaming right now.
Genesis 2, 1, verse 1 to 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished His work that He had done, and He rested on the seventh day from all His work that He had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all His work that He had done in creation. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Matthew. All right, church family, we are going to ask and answer three questions regarding the Sabbath, which will serve as our sermon outline this morning. So first, what is the practice of Sabbath? And second, why should we practice practice Sabbath? And third, how should we practice Sabbath? Okay, so first, what is the practice of Sabbath? And I want to humbly submit to you just my unsophisticated and clunky definition of Sabbath. So here it is. Sabbath is a set-apart space and time woven into the ordinary rhythms of our lives where we actively rejoice and rest in the God who has made us for Himself. Let me just read it one more time just for you, for us to consider this together. Sabbath is a set-apart space and time woven into the ordinary rhythms of our lives, where we actively rejoice and rest in the God who has made us for Himself. And I just want to take a moment just to unpack this for us, because I want us to see that Sabbath is not just a nice idea. Sabbath is hardwired into the DNA of creation by its creator. And I want to anchor this idea of Sabbath in what God has declared in his word to be true and wise and good and eternal about how life and creation was designed to work best. Okay, so first, Sabbath is a set apart space and time. In the very beginning of the Bible, in the very beginning of the creation account, in Genesis chapter 2, the word of God says, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done." So God blessed the seventh day, and he made it holy because on it, on the seventh day, God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. Friends, did you catch the refrain here? Four times in this short passage, the refrain is on the seventh day, on the seventh day. God marks out and he sets apart the seventh day with intentionality, and he blesses it. But not only that, it says that God made the seventh day holy. You realize this is the first time in all of the Bible we come across the word holy. And if you're familiar with the scriptures all throughout the Bible, one of the loudest and the clearest description or attributes of God is that he is holy. Friends, it's as if to say, as the image bearers of God, one of the ways that we are most like him is when we live into this rhythm of we work 6 days as he did and we rest one day as he did. So first, Sabbath is set apart space and time. Second, Sabbath is a set apart space and time woven into the ordinary rhythms of our lives. We go a little bit forward into the Bible. After the book of Genesis, we end up in the book of Exodus. And in the book of Exodus, God delivers the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. And throughout the entire book, he is preparing his people to go into the land that he had promised. And in Exodus chapter 20, he gives the Israelites 10 commandments so that they might govern their everyday lives in relationship to him and with others for their flourishing. So in other words, he's giving them instruction about how to live well in the land that they are about to enter. And in verses 8 to 11, we find the fourth commandment. And this is the Sabbath commandment, and it is the longest and the most detailed of the 10 commandments. And listen to what it says, beginning in verse 8. "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant, your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy." So, friends, this is the big idea here. You see, the Sabbath was designed to be so ordinary. It was just meant to be a way of life or a way of being in the world that it shapes our values. It shapes our homes. It shapes our communities. It shapes how we steward our resources. It shapes how we love God and our neighbor. Therefore, Sabbath was never meant to be an option, rather a command. Sabbath is a set apart space and time woven into the ordinary rhythms of our lives. And thirdly, where we actively rejoice and rest in the God who has made us for himself. The word Sabbath comes from the Hebrew word Shabbat, which is translated the word rest that we see in Genesis chapter 2. And it literally means to stop or to cease. And the idea behind this word is that God is delighting in what he had done. I mean, think about it this way. If you think about what immediately precedes God resting on the seventh day, it is this refrain that we find all throughout Genesis chapter 1, that God made and saw that it was good. God made and saw that it was good. God made and he saw that it was good. And on the sixth day, the final day of all creation, after he creates man and woman in his own very image, in the last verse of Genesis chapter 1, it says, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. You see, God rested on the seventh day, not because he was tired and not because he was weary, but because he saw all that he had done, and behold, it was very good. He stopped and he ceased in order to delight in and enjoy what he had done. So Sabbath then, friends, is an invitation for us to stop and to cease from our work and activity, so to rejoice and rest in who God is and what he has done. And for us, we're not just talking about creation. That's only the first two chapters of the entire Bible. And if we just search through the pages of Scripture, Sabbath for us is an invitation for us to rejoice and rest in the God who brought forth life and beauty and creativity out of nothing. We are invited to rejoice and rest in the God who sustains and upholds the universe by the word of his power. Sabbath is an invitation for us to rejoice and rest in the God who is sovereign over creation, over nations, over kingdoms, over history, and sovereign over every suffering and over every injustice. It's all throughout the pages of Scripture. Sabbath is an invitation for us to rejoice and rest in the God who sent his beloved son Jesus to be our advocate, to be our provision, to be our ransom, to be our sacrificial lamb, to be our savior, to be our access to the throne of God's grace, to be our freedom from the power of sin and death. Sabbath is an invitation for us to rejoice and rest in the God who is patient, long-suffering, and kind despite disobedience, unbelief, and sin. And he remains steadfast and unchanging in his love. We get to rest and rejoice in that, in this God. Sabbath is an invitation for us to rejoice and rest in the God who is always, always up to something good and redemptive until one day he makes all things new. Sabbath is an invitation for us to stop and to cease from our work to rejoice and rest in all that God is and all that God promises to be for us in Christ Jesus. And not only that, church family, Sabbath is an invitation for us to cease in order that we delight in and enjoy the good and life-giving gifts he has given to us out of his abundant grace. The good food that we get to enjoy, the good company that we surround ourselves with, the good gifts that he has given to us in the world. And in my definition, I was so intentional about the word, about using the word actively. This is an actively rejoicing and resting, because Sabbath, friends, is more than and far from a day off or a break in routine or even a vacation. Sabbath is meant to be an encounter with God's delight and pleasure. The taste buds that God has given to us, the palates that God has given to us, the company and the friends that make us laugh, that make us weep, that make us do life together. I mean, the creation that surrounds us, the sunrises and the sunsets, that we are meant to encounter God's delight and God's pleasure. So we actively stop and cease, and we find ways to actively rejoice and rest for the purpose of remembering God's goodness and grace in order that we might worship, in order that we might delight in him as we ought. Sabbath is a set-apart space and time woven into the ordinary rhythms of our lives where we actively rejoice and rest in the God who has made us for himself. So then why should we practice the Sabbath? And I, And as I've been kind of just talking, I hope I've already started giving you some compelling reasons to practice the Sabbath, or at least long to practice the Sabbath. But let me offer you just a few additional thoughts. And as I share these, I hope and pray that these thoughts minister to some of you here this morning. When we practice the Sabbath, we are creating space and time to remember. Sabbath as remembering. We're creating space and time for us to remember. To remember that God is God, friends, so that we don't have to be. We get to remember on the Sabbath that we are finite. We get to embrace our limitations. We get to humbly remember that we are not in control, we are not the Savior, and we are not designed to be self-sufficient. Sabbath is an invitation for us to remember and to live into the reality of Psalm 46:10, be still and know that He is God. Man, I hope some of you, it's good for your souls to hear that this morning. That the Word of God says, be still and know that He is God. Sabbath is an invitation for us to create space and time to remember that we are beloved daughters and sons of our Father in heaven. Okay, listen. Before we get to be, or before we have to be dads and moms, or husbands and wives, before we are students, CEOs, or software engineers, or medical professionals, or government contractors, or even unemployed, before we are single, dating, engaged, married, divorced, or widowed, listen, before we are the sum of our past mistakes, or before we are the product of our unrealized hopes and dreams, Sabbath is an invitation for us to remember and to live into the reality that we are beloved daughters and sons of the living God. And God is not yet done writing His story of grace and redemption over our lives. So in John chapter 3, John declares this amazing declaration. Verse 1, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. So we are. We are beloved daughters and sons of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Sabbath is an invitation for us to create space and time so that we might remember that in Christ and through Christ and because of the perfect life and the sacrificial death and the powerful resurrection of Christ over sin and death, friends, we are forgiven. We are accepted. We are reconciled so that we might have peace. Have you ever experienced this kind of peace? Like, have you ever received a hug from somebody that you haven't seen in a while? There was a little bit of a falling out, and you know, and you don't really know where your relationship stands, and all of a sudden you see the person across the room or across the street, and you guys lock eyes, and you guys are making your way, and you're a little bit anxious and apprehensive about how this person is going to respond and react to you, and all of a sudden you get close, and this person opens their arms wide open, and you go in for a hug, but it's not just one of those. You know, it's not that, but they just hug you and they just hold you. That's the peace of God. Because of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us, that's what we have. We have peace with God. Sabbath is an invitation to live into and to live out of the reality, friends, that there is nothing that we can do to make God love us any more than He does right now. Because of Christ, and in Christ, and through Christ. So this morning, if you are plagued by shame and guilt over the things you've done or the choices you've made, if you find yourself anxious and restless and overwhelmed because you've been stuck in this unrelenting pace to secure yourself the pleasures and the possessions and the positions in this world, and it has actually left you empty and bankrupt and lost. Dear friends, I want to lovingly urge you to fix your gaze on God, who invites you to Sabbath rest, who invites you to disarm your self-reliance, disarm your need and desire for control. I want to lovingly urge you to let go of your failures. Sabbath rest is an invitation for all of us in this room, regardless of who you are and what you've done, to look at God, looking at you in steadfast, unwavering, and unchanging love. Would you fix your gaze on this God who invites you to Sabbath rest? But Sabbath is not just remembering, friends. Sabbath is rehearsing. When we practice the Sabbath, we are creating space and time to rehearse what is already true, but not yet fully realized. And I want to read this quote to you from Jen Wilkin. And it's a little bit of a lengthy quote, and I'm sorry about that. But man, if you would just follow along with me. This is what Jen Wilkin says. One day, Sabbath will descend in fullness. All Sabbath now is a foretaste of Sabbath ever after. When we seize our labors and sense the sweetness of that seizing, we anticipate the day when we will enter fully into our rest. Think about that most common of headstone inscriptions, rest in peace. We associate the afterlife with rest from striving, and indeed it will be that for all who are in Christ. At the cross, Jesus justified us fully, granting us rest from the penalty of our sin. But as the author of Hebrews tells us, we still labor to enter into that rest of freedom from the power of sin. In other words, sanctification is actual hard work, work we will not complete until we rest in peace, face to face with our Maker. But one day, when we are glorified, we will rest fully and finally from the very presence of sin. No more futile labor to self-justify through good behavior. No more spirit-driven labor to be holy in thought, word, and deed. The banner over the seventh day of creation is, it is finished. The banner over the believer at the cross as a new creation in Christ is, it is finished. And the banner over the recreation of all things is, it is finished. And listen to how she ends. Each time we declare it is finished in our Sabbath observance or practice, we affirm our allegiance to the kingdom that is to come, ordering our lives on earth as it is in heaven. Oh. When we practice the Sabbath, we are rehearsing what will one day be fully and finally true and what will be realized. There is a rest that is full and final still to come for those who belong to Jesus. Meaning no more striving and no more earning, no more achieving and no more accumulating. No more envying others' bank accounts, no more comparing our lifestyles to another, no more sizing up our treasures. No more sorrows, no more tears, no more fears and no more pain. No more guilt and no more shame, no more regrets. Friends, all that will matter in the end is that we belong to Him and that He belongs to us. All that will matter in the end is that we will be in the presence of Jesus, unhurried, unanxious, unrestless, and unnumb. I'm pretty sure I've made up all of those words except for unhurried. All in the presence of Jesus, we are unhurried, unanxious, unrestless, unnumb, fully healed, fully alive, looking at Him, looking at us in love for all of eternity. Therefore, in our Sabbath practice, we can and we are given permission to stop and to cease from all of our striving and our laboring, to rehearse in tangible and in practical ways that there is rest now, and we taste it in small measures and a final rest to come. And this leads me to my final, our final question. Third, then, how should we practice the Sabbath? Okay, super honesty time. I am terrible at practicing the Sabbath. Okay, so I knew the sermon was coming for me like months ago, like about 2-3 months ago, I knew the sermon was coming. And in my head, I said, I know I'm terrible at practicing the Sabbath, but because I need to preach on this, it'll probably be a good idea for me to begin to practice it, just so that I might have something to say to our church family. And days went, weeks went by, months went by, and my intentions just fell through. I mean, I was busy, distracted, disconnected. I feel like I'm a pastor by day and Uber driver by night. And it's so easy for the practice of Sabbath just to kind of fall by the wayside. But if this is the good news of Sabbath, that we get to remember all that God is for us in Jesus Christ, and we get to rehearse for the day that is coming when no more striving and no more laboring, when that day finally and fully comes. Friends, I don't know about you, but I want to grow. I want to taste this on a regular basis. I want to lean into this on a regular basis. I thought about, man, for if you're anything like me, and this is a struggle, how can I help us? How can I help myself? And I thought of just four words that can shape maybe the way that we practice Sabbath. Perhaps these four words can serve as the lens and the grid through which we can practice the Sabbath. So here's the first word. Stop. What work do you and I need to physically and literally stop in order to practice the Sabbath? What email can wait till the next day? What text message can wait till the next day? Or here's another question. Where are you? Where am I tempted to just want to get ahead a little bit? Just to do more on this day. Just to get a little bit ahead. Or here's this question. What habits do we need to die to or cultivate during the 6 days so that we can practice and protect our Sabbath? How can we order the 6 days of our lives and lean into labor and hard work and stewarding what God has given to us and entrusted to us? What can we cut out? What habits can we die to or cultivate during those 6 days so that we might be able to practice and protect our Sabbath? So where do you need to stop? Where do I need to stop? Here's a second word, rest. What forms of rest is truly restorative and healing for our bodies, our minds, and our souls? And I think you'll agree with me. Most of the time, binge watching is not restful. Most of the time, friends, doom scrolling is not restful. Most of the time, gaming is not restful. I know it firsthand because my kids get cranky and they get just irritable when they've been on their screens for a little longer. So I know that's not restful. So here's the question. What devices and what apps do we need to silence and put away so that we might lean into this gift of Sabbath? Here's a third word, delight. What would stir our affection for Jesus, for who he is and what he has done? Or what would stir your gratitude for the good and abundant gifts he has given? What would cause you to say, God, this was good. God, this was good. I don't know if you were here the first sermon in this series when Pastor Owen talked about the Korean barbecue scenario. You remember that? He talked about the lettuce. He talked about the rice. He talked about the meat. And he talked about the samjang, which is like sauce paste thing. And he talked about putting it all together. And he talked about that magical first bite. Oh, I don't know about you. Yeah, that says, God, this is good. This is really good. God, you are good. So, what would stir your affection for Jesus? What would stir your gratitude for Jesus for all the good gifts that he has given to you? And here's the last word. And stop, rest, delight. And here's the last word, plan. In the same way that we plan our vacations, we plan our travels, in the same way that we schedule out our children's sports and everything else, what if we looked ahead to this week? What if we learned to get in the habit of looking ahead to our month? Choose the time and the space that works best. But here's the thing. This is not about merely fitting in Sabbath into our schedules. Our aim is to reorient our lives around this rhythm. And friends, that may mean for some of us, we learn to say no to some really, really, really good opportunities and good things so that we might lean into something better and something more beautiful. And if you're a parent in this room or if you're married, here's a question for you and for me. What would it look like to have this conversation with your spouse, with your children? And as I say that, like my family's sitting here, so I need to do something with this after this, right? But really, what would it look like for our homes to practice this rhythm of Sabbath so that we might remember all that God is for us in Jesus Christ and so that we might rehearse all that is waiting for us and that we get to taste this, that in this here on earth. And children, if you're one of your parents, gather you together to say, hey, let's talk about the Sabbath. Oh, I pray that you will be so gracious and kind to them because sometimes we have no idea what we're doing, but we know it's good, and we want to attempt some things for the sake of our growth and for the sake of our walk with Jesus. So would you be so gracious to your parents? You know, John Mark Comer, who is the author and pastor, he wrote the book Practice in the Way. He says this, Sabbath is an entire day of your week, 1/7 of your life, set aside to not only stop and rest, but also delight in and worship the God who made you to be with himself. We need the Sabbath to keep our hearts alive to the beauty of God and life with him in his world. When I first read that, I was just stuck on the first several words. Sabbath is an entire day of your week. That's too hard. Sabbath is an entire day of your week. I don't know if I could do it. I just don't know if I have what it takes. And if you're sitting there just kind of like me, if you are overwhelmed, man, I want to encourage you, let's not get overwhelmed. Maybe the goal for some of us can be an entire day in the week, from sundown to sundown, but until then, until we get there, how about we start with just several hours in the week where we engage practicing the Sabbath prayerfully, humbly, curiously, and earnestly to encounter delight and the pleasure of God. Let's just start where we're at. And maybe we can long for an entire day in the week from sundown to sundown where we get to create space and time to delight in God, to remember all that God is for us in Christ, and to rehearse what is already true but not yet fully realized. Friends, what would it take for you, your home, your marriage, your family, wherever you are in life, what would it take for you to stop and to rest and to delight? And may we have sufficient courage and faith to just plan, to attempt to plan. And when we fail, we get back up again and we do it again. I pray that Sabbath will be a rhythm in our lives that will be life-giving for the honor of Jesus, for the joy of our souls, and for the good of the world around us. Can we pray? Can I pray for us? Father, what a God you are, that you have invited us to practice this gift of Sabbath from the foundation of the world. You thought of us, you knew our labors, you knew our striving, and you set apart a day for us to rest in you, for us to rejoice in you, for us to delight in you, for us to delight in all that you have done and all that you have given to us. So God, would you grant us courage now as we consider this, as we pray into this, as we become more and more curious about this practice of Sabbath, that you would do something in us and for us that will be beautiful, that will be believable, and that will be lasting. Again, for your glory and our joy, and for the good of the world. It's for your beautiful name we pray. Amen.